big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to the Law Firm of Davis & Davis. We're not a real law firm. Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen.
Yes.
Hi.
What are you doing?
Sitting here petting my cat, actually. It's one of the few times he's not biting and once petted. It's kind of weird and freaking me out.
Are you talking about Kendrick?
Yes. Kendrick the cat.
And he's not eating your microphone?
No, he's just laying here and being chill. It's kind of weird.
So
it happens. Every now and then it happens. You just roll with it.
So I think our audience is probably sitting back after last week's show wondering what the hell we're going to do.
So are we, so no big deal.
I have a little hint. Yes, that's right. We're going to finish our discussion about the man, the myth, the legend. Esther, go on.
I want to just do a little apology in advance. I feel like I barely scratched the surface. I had no idea how deep the rabbit hole went. This is more of a skimming synopsis. It is in no way like a deep dive. It's just like you could spend hours talking about this gentleman.
We originally came up with this idea 2 weeks ago. We had to cancel it last week because there was so much more to go into.
Oh yeah.
Which amazed me. I was like, this is insane. This gentleman did so much, and there was so much more that he should have done. He was actually, before he died, supposed to be writing a musical with Madonna.
Oh wow.
Just so much that this gentleman did, and so much that he went through. I mean, literally, Warner Brothers tried to take his name away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane how much this gentleman went through and how much he did.
Yeah, and bless his heart, threw it right back in their faces. He is a fucking legend just for that.
In preparing for this, I watched a lot of YouTube videos. Well, I'll get into that. Let's start off with what the hell are you sucking on? It ain't no.
Ron Del Barolito sipping rum.
Never heard of it, but is it clear or is it colored?
It's very.
Oh, it's dark.
It's amber. It's not super dark, but it's very amber. Good customer of mine, Jim. He was in for service and came and sat down. We're BSing, and he's about to leave. And I said, "Yeah, well, I gotta go buy some bourbon for my podcast." He's like, "Bourbon?" And he's like, he on his iPhone has like pictures of his prides and joys of his. Yeah, I'm like, "Oh man, he's got he had a Blade & Bow bottle there. He had not McClellan's with the little round bottle."
The one that you're using for your Infinity?
No. Well, Blade & Bow is what I'm using for my Infinity, but there's another really, really good brand out there. I can't remember it. Comes in a very small, roundish bottle, kind of like the one I had the other week. But he's got some really high-end, nice bourbons and everything. And then he was like, try this out. Like, this is not going to break the bank, and it's a really different experience. I'm like, okay. And I promised I would tell him about it after I drank it today. And I mean, I had a little sip last night, just because I was curious, but it's a really different drinking experience. I'm drinking, you could even drink it straight with no ice. Which has a really different flavor at that point. On the Rocks so far, I think is the best. I couldn't even begin to explain it to you. Hold on. You get caramels and vanillas, but it's not like bourbon, because bourbon's that heavy, oaky. This is a much lighter but brighter flavor. I recommend it to anyone who drinks bourbon just to try this out, because it's kind of like a counterpoint to this is like the high notes. And bourbon's kind of the base notes, if that makes any sense.
It does. Sounds interesting.
I'm kind of digging it. This is the, yeah. And it's nice and smooth. It doesn't break the bank either. I mean, this was $23-$25-ish. It was not bad at all. And then he gave me another one to try out, which I could not find. Text response. No, not you. Where'd it go? La 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 la. Jim or Jim. Oh, there we go. The other one he said to try out. Oh, shit. Oh, it's in my pictures. Oh, dude. And it comes in this beautiful. Here, wait a minute. Check this out. Comes in this beautiful cardboard tube with gold embossing, and also it's a really pretty presentation. It's almost like getting an iPhone. and then oh god, there's pictures of boats and I can't find it if I do. Ah. So this other one is called Rum, and it's R-H-U-M, Barbon Court Reserve 8-year-old. And that one, it's closer to $30 a bottle. Distilled in Haiti. These are both from Haiti, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
So that's what I'm drinking, and I'm really enjoying this stuff.
Did you hear that?
I heard that.
I'm waiting on the one that I need, because I just
So that didn't sound good.
All right, so we're having we're having storms today.
Okay.
And I just lost power.
Oh, shoot.
Well, hang on a second. Oh. All right, ladies and gentlemen, give us a second. Hold on. Is it coming back? No. I have battery backups.
But they only last so long.
But they really only last so long. So at this point in time, the screens that I have that show Burke are shut off.
Oh no.
Okay.
So I can do this and you can't see what I'm doing?
I can now. I just switch you over to the small. Give me like 2 seconds here. I have to go shut off the light that's on my battery backups on my yeah, whatever. Hang on.
Okay. However, during this brief interlude, Scott has forgotten to stop recording. So now it's just all you guys and me. So this is going to be pretty boring stuff right here. Oh, wait. He's coming back.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. I'm back. I have 1 hour and 58 minutes of battery time. That's yeah, I don't even know. Stop that. Enter. Stop.
You're turning off your AC?
No, I'm trying to turn off my countdown timer.
Oh.
And nothing is working.
Is the countdown timer on its own battery or not?
It's on its own battery. Gosh, this is fabulous, isn't it? Countdown 40. Enter. So my countdown clock is still working. Look at I still have lights. I have 75 minutes of lighting left on in my state. Hey, see this? This is great, though. You have to admit, I'm still doing a show
with no power whatsoever.
No power.
That is cool.
So, anyways, I guess I should get to what I'm drinking.
Yeah, what are you drinking?
I would tell you
if you could find it. Man, Scott's gone. Oh, it's a little orange Corvette, but it's close enough. I get it.
It is. You little orange Corvette. Sorry. Holy crap, dude. There is freaking hail like crazy going on right now.
Uh-oh.
Okay. What am I looking for here? I am looking for this. Scott Davis. Let me kick that up. All right. I am. Come on. There you go. I am starting I am doing a new bourbon today.
Ooh.
And when you see the price on this, do not worry. This is not the price that I paid. because if I saw this on yours, I would look at you and go, you're freaking stupid for paying for that. Let's see here. Basic. I can only go to one screen now. Oh, guess what? We have power.
Oh, nice.
That was what that dun 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 was.
Sweet.
Let's get everything distributed where it needs to be. Moving this down here. Is it? I'm sorry, people. As a matter of fact, here. All right. So I am sharing my screen with you right now, am I not?
Yes, yes, you are. And that was the bourbon I was trying to come up with just a little while ago, was Blanton's.
That, my dear boy.
Ooh.
So I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm drinking out of a Christmas cup, but I don't own any highballs. So if people want to send me some highballs, I would be a happy man.
Well, I'm drinking out of a small glass coffee cup because it's just the right size and it has a handle.
You got to love that. New share. So I am partaking in a thing called Blanton's Single Barrel Bourbon Whiskey. On the websites online, I found a couple here and there. It's right around $250 to $300 a bottle. I did not pay that much for it. Anyone that knows me, I'm cheap. Anyways, that is my drink of choice for the evening. A matter of fact, I am about to take my first sip.
Ooh.
Have you had this before?
I have not.
No. It's tremendously smooth for 93%.
Yeah. 93 proof. Yeah.
It's extremely, 93 proof. Sorry. What am I tasting? Compared to the Willet, I get a stronger caramel flavor.
Okay.
To it. I get a stronger oak flavor to it.
Okay.
But it's not that burnt oak.
Okay. Yeah.
I get a real woody feeling and it doesn't burn at all. I mean, there's a lot of almost a vanilla taste to it.
I kind of get vanilla in this rum too. So that's kind of cool.
Hang on. Okay. I don't know if this ever happens to you. Whenever I drink like a good bourbon or good scotch or whatever, when I drink it, I can sense it up in my nose, like
wasabi when it goes up your nose, kind of.
Yeah. It's like you swallow, and while it's going down your throat, it's also going up into your nasal cavity, so you're getting this great smell. It's smell-o-vision with the taste with it. I'm telling, I am not the person that's going to spend $300 on a bottle of bourbon.
No.
But if you somehow get the opportunity to receive this, to just try it, I don't care what, do it. It's a phenomenal sipping bourbon. I could sit here and drink this all night. You guys would be fucked, but I would enjoy every minute of that, especially since I've had 2 days off in a row.
I'll tell you what, not do me a favor.
Not many golf courses are open when it's raining like this.
Let me share screen. I'll show you some boat stuff here real quick. Keep forgetting I got Google Photos on my computer that I can reference.
You should wait. You should be able to share.
Sharing will stop the other computer sound share. Yes.
Look at
Alrighty.
That.
Let's see. So there's the front of the boat with some fairing on it. It's looking nice. Like the front of a boat now, isn't it?
That is actually looking really good.
Look at that.
Oh, he did. Oh, he's feathering that out nicely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So this is further down, and I.
That's a big patch.
Well, no, it's actually the white part there, kind of at the middle bottom, is really the only damage. But you want to get further out so you can do a big piece of glass to give it as much structure and rigidity as you can. This is.
Oh, that's just a mine. That's just a flesh wound.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's up on top. It's not, this stuff, you need it to be waterproof. It's not structural. And this was kind of on the underside. You can see a little bit of that there.
Nice.
So this is all my glass work. That patch there, that's more, they threw on some more fairing. That's just ugly, but it's fiberglassing is like you throw the crap on there. You grind it off, you start smoothing it down. It's kind of like sculpting almost. So anyway, that's the
Ron Del Barnato?
Barolito.
Barolito.
Yes. It's such a pretty bottle. I couldn't find the bottle because it was in this tube. I was looking for that bottle on the shelf.
Nice. All right. All right.
I think that's everything.
Eduardo Fernandez. Oh,
here we go. A couple days ago, I come home. This is my shed there on the right.
Yeah.
There's cops. There's the old guy who lives next door, I guess his grandson freaked out, was naked, busted out the window on the second floor, was hanging out the window naked. They took him away in a stretcher. This is taken through my back window. So yeah, that was exciting. Alrighty then.
All right. I guess I'll do the bad news. We're recording this Tuesday. What is the date today? Tuesday, May 24th. And I just want to say that we're thinking about the shooting victims here in Texas this morning. Sad.
That's rough.
Well, it's sad, and it didn't have to happen. The kid that did it was 18 years old, and it's like, you know, I don't know what to do. We're now up to 18 children dead and one adult. At some point in time, it's got to stop.
But where was this in relation to where you are?
Well, I didn't look that up. I did not look up what city this was in. I think this is over towards the Mexican border.
Okay.
Uvalde, Texas. Let me see here. It is. Google Maps is a fabulous thing.
Yes, it is.
So it looks like. Yeah, it looks like it is about 2 hours west of San Antonio, which puts it, I mean, Del Rio's right on the border. Yeah. And this is only about an hour away from Del Rio. The population of 15,000. I mean, that's the size of Medina. It's just, it's a small city, and unfortunately they killed the gunman. Well, I don't want to say unfortunately, he killed a bunch of people, but honestly, we got to start catching these guys to see what's going on in their head. That's the only way that we're going to figure out how to stop this stuff.
Honestly, I thought all school teachers in Texas were armed, but
you know what? That's kind of a myth. Everyone thinks that we're all gun-toting, headstrong bastards down here, and we are headstrong, but most of us don't carry guns. It's something like 40% of the population has a concealed handgun license. Now, here in Texas, the fabulous thing is that you don't need a concealed handgun license if you just want to wear it on your belt and let people see it, which is most of the time a deterrent enough. Now, teachers in the state are allowed to get a CCL. And, you know, are we really to that point? It's most of the school, like when I worked at Irving High School, we had two police officers on campus at all times.
Yeah, but that's a little bit bigger city than this.
That is true. I don't know what the answer is either, man. You know, I'm tired of waking up every day seeing somebody else shot. And I think that people that are law-abiding citizens should have the right to have a gun. But we got to get these crazies. We got to get the guns out of the crazy people's hands.
Well, that's the rub. How do you do it?
In
an ethical and fair, you know, it's like, I don't know.
If you're a law-abiding citizen and you want to go buy a gun, wouldn't you be all right with taking a freaking mental exam? I would be. It wouldn't bother me.
True.
You know? Now, if they... Honestly, I've been kind of against kids with guns for a long time. I think that you need to be 21 or 25 years old to own a gun. It's all right if your parents own a gun, but if you use that gun for something, the parents have to be charged. Yep, there goes Kendrick. Goodbye, Kendrick.
He's getting bitey. It's time to go.
It's just too much of this stuff is... it's too much. And most of the people that are creating these problems lately are young. That's either telling me that your parents aren't teaching proper gun control. You know, is that the answer? Do we start putting these parents in jail for what their kids do?
Oh, I think they need to do some time, especially if it's their gun that does it. Yeah, absolutely. They're responsible for it. They're responsible for their gun. They're responsible for their kids. So
they're responsible. I've said this from the beginning. My father taught me how to use a gun. My father taught me how to. My father was the one that made sure that I kept a lock on my gun at all times. You know, if you're not teaching your kids this stuff, it was an 18-year-old kid that killed these kids. What did the parents teach him? Yeah. If he was mentally distraught, why did the parents not talk to somebody to get him fixed?
Or lock up their guns.
Or take away his gun. I mean, I don't know. Don't know the answer to this, but you know what? It's happening way too much. I believe in the Second Amendment. But I also believe that I used to have a saying, which was, You can outlaw guns. You can't outlaw stupidity.
Yeah. Would that we could.
Yeah. That's apparently, or not apparently, it is against the law for us to ban stupid people from the world. I wish we could. Kind of like those crazy dudes on my golf course. Don't listen to anyone. Anyways, what did you do this past week? We have been away from each other for a week. Freaking doing so much research on.
No, I know, right? Work's been on and off, weird, busy. I was helping on the boat on Sunday for a lot of the day. Not a whole heck of, had this weird thing where, like, my tire light came on my car, and I'm like, oh, I better, yeah, take it to work, get it fixed, whatever, you know. The Saturday was very busy, unfortunately. They didn't have time to get to it, so I just pulled it in, asked one of the Loop Tech guys, hey, can I borrow your air thing? And yeah, it's a nice one too, a digital gauge on there, you know, so you just hit the trigger and wait till the digital gauge reads whatever.
God, I love that.
Okay, well, it said 5. I'm like, oh crap, man, that's what. So I'm pumping it up. I get up to 36. It was weird because you let the trigger go, and it would stay for a second and then start dropping down like a whole pound. I'm like, God, is this my tire? No, because it would level out and stop. I'm like, okay. So I get it to about 30, 35, 36, whatever. No problem. Reset my light. Drive. I was driving that night, and my tire light comes on again. I'm like, whatever. So Sunday, I go up to Bob's, and he's got the, oh God, he blew up his yellow.
Different Bob, guys. Different Bob.
Yeah, this is the guy with the boat up in Copley. He blew up another engine on his yellow Sprite.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Second one this year.
Oh, that is bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, this guy has had the worst possible luck in the past month with cars and just life in general. But anyway, I get up there and I grab his, you know, just regular, and it's a nice gauge, but it's just a gauge, you know, put it on my tire. It's at 60 fucking pounds.
Wow.
I'm like, oh no shit. My lights on. So I backed it on down to 32. I checked all the other ones. My other front was like at 27. Maybe that's the one that actually has the leak. I don't know. So we'll just watch it. I was like, I got to tell that dude at work, like, what was this metric? It was this kilometers per square inch. What the
man?
Kilograms per square inch. What was this?
Gotta love that.
God, all right, 60 pounds in a tire. Like, oh shit!
I didn't realize you could fit 60 pounds in a tire. Usually they burst right off of the rim after about 50.
Yeah, it's all right.
Hey, so everyone knows the American Legion did put out a thing saying fly the United States flag at half staff now through sunset on Saturday, May 28th, honoring the victims of the tragedy in Uvalde, Texas. So there you go. Drop your flags, everyone.
That the United States or just Texas?
That's the United States.
Okay.
What did I do this weekend?
What besides working?
Well, here's the thing. We had Sigma on Thursday, who rented out the entire golf course.
Sigma or Signet?
Sigma.
Don't know them.
It is some sort of a financial company that I don't know what they do exactly. I don't know much about them. All I know is that the on two of the par threes that we have on the course, they had a $10,000 prize for the person closest to the pin.
So apparently they make too much money is what they do.
That's what I was screaming. Friday came and we had the Homeless Veterans Association.
Cool.
Who rented out the entire course. Yeah, it's a lot of freaking money. Then on Saturday, we had the Combat Veterans Association.
Cool.
who rented out most of the course, not all of it. They were only, I think they were 240 people. Okay. The other groups were over 300. I've never seen groups that big. First thing that I will say, and then I had Sunday off. I've never had a Sunday off. What the hell? So I had Sunday off. Then I worked Monday. Then I was supposed to work today, but it was supposed to rain all day. So they said, don't even come in. I was like, okay, great. I don't work tomorrow. I work Thursday. I'm off. I think it's Friday.
Oh, wow.
I'm off Saturday. I work Sunday, Monday. And then I'm off Tuesday, Wednesday. I think I'm going to get like 15 hours this week.
It's weird. Weird hours.
Fuck it. Don't care. Don't really care. But besides that, I actually met up with a friend of mine who owns the Big Apple, which is a bar right about a mile down the road from me. Who during COVID I kind of started becoming really good friends with, since the only things that were open during COVID were golf courses and bars. Great. It's a great life. So he and I had some wonderful conversations, and I just happened to receive a beautiful bottle of bourbon from him.
Oh, wow.
Thank you very much. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, go to the Big Apple. They've got great pizza. They've got wonderful booze. They've got a nice pool table that I like to play on. I had fun. Anyways, that's about it for my my exciting weekend. So there you go. Oh, and by the way, I did do research again.
Yes.
Because this topic we're about to get into was huge. It was massive.
We chose poorly.
Very poorly. I don't know if you can see this on your screen, but my ears are wagging inside and out. That is not a problem with the video. That is actually my ears doing that because I was freaking tired of Prince. I watched. There was a documentary that they did that's on YouTube that talked about the Super Bowl show that he did, which I don't know.
Counted as possibly one of the best Super Bowl halftimes ever.
What you tell you, it was the best Super Bowl show I think I've ever seen. And it was cool. In the documentary, they go over several different things about it. But it was raining. It was raining during this. So they called Prince before the show and said, listen, it's raining. Are you okay with this? And he said, can you make it rain harder? I was like, that's a freaking awesome answer. But I mean, it totally made sense with him ending that set on the song Purple Rain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyways, people, the show today that we are about to get into right after our break here is basically, it's not really a deep dive into Prince.
This is a bits and pieces from his past. I guess is maybe the best way to put it. Maybe a little insight into who he was and how he became who he was.
I think the best way to explain this is both Burke and myself have a lot of influence from Prince. I in the entertainment industry have a ton of influence from him, from his lighting designer, the way that his lighting designer incorporated lighting into the shows. He was an incredible artist that I think every person could get something out of. And that's just what he was. Anyways, we're gonna have to take a little break here before we get into this this whole thing. Is there anything else that we need to discuss before we get into this thing?
Not that I know of, except that I don't have a clue what we're doing next week.
Oh,
but you have ideas. Okay, good. Okay, that's good.
You're not gonna like them, but
that goes all the way back to college.
We actually have two movie reviews after this.
Are you gonna also give me the choice of like two and two, like I do for you, or this is what it is? And
I could do that for one of them.
Because I'm always nice. I'm always nice to go, okay, choose this one or this one, and then this one or this one.
Here's the thing. Scott's copy of the new Batman movie arrives tomorrow.
Oh. Which I've seen half of.
So we will be doing our review of the Batman next week.
Fair enough.
The other movie is either Stripes or Spies Like Us.
You know, I've never seen Spies Like Us all the way through.
And that's why I think you should really lean towards Spies Like Us. Because we've seen Stripes and we love Bill Murray. I was really torn on this. But I really want to do Spies Like Us because you haven't seen it. You haven't seen it all the way through. I was going to say Stripes and Ghostbusters.
Oh, God, that's Ghostbusters is two shows.
Ghostbusters. But I love that movie. Dude.
I know.
You got my favorites in there. You got Dan Aykroyd.
It's everything.
It's a phenomenal movie. Anyways, on that note, we will tell you at the end of the show which movie Burke decides on. Actually, we'll make it.
No,
here you can do Stripes, Ghostbusters, or Spies Like Us.
No, I'm gonna do Spies Like Us because you love that movie.
I do.
Absolutely love that movie. So am I missing something here? My curiosity is now piqued. So it'll be Spies Like Us.
Awesome.
So it'll be a nice counterpoint of this is a movie that you know all about. This will be my first impressions, basically. So
yay!
Be a
nice little. That's freaking awesome. All right, people. Let me get some transition music going here. Because I can.
He can try.
No, I'm going to cut that piece out because I want to use that to take us into the
okay
thing. Anyway, so I'm going to cut that bit out. I'm going to use a different.
Well, I didn't hear anything, so you may not be sharing with me because I was sharing my pictures.
Thank God. uh, right.
There we go. Computer sound is sharing.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back.
See you soon.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be alright. Instead of asking him how much of your time is left, ask him how much of your mind, baby. Cause in this life, things are much harder than in the afterworld. This life, you're on your own. And if the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy. Punch your higher floor.
Probably the best way to start any movie.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
So Burke and I started talking about this almost a month ago. Can't believe that it was almost a month ago.
I know, right?
We were talking about Meatballs when this originally came up.
Yes, that is correct.
And both Burke and myself said that this movie was something special. So we started doing this deep dive into the movie and said we need to do a show on Prince. I didn't realize how much of a fiasco that was going to be.
Yeah, we made a mistake.
We're almost a month into this. And like Burke said in the first segment.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize now. We didn't even scratch the surface, I don't feel. I mean, it's just, there's so much. This is a brief overview. Maybe you'll find out some stuff you didn't know. Maybe you'll hear some stuff that kind of adds a little more context to things you've heard and seen from him. But by no means the entirety of his whole life. Oh, my gosh.
I think that that's something for people to go to Minneapolis and see it. His studio has basically been turned into a museum.
Museum, yeah.
Time. He changed music. He made funk even
funnier. Funnier.
Yeah, it was more fun after Prince dealt with it. And there's tons of stuff that that is involved here. I did not realize that the two number one hits that Morris Day and the Time had were both written by Prince.
Oh, yeah.
Prince had number one songs that he didn't sing. He wrote them. He wrote them. So
him and Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen?
Springsteen.
Yeah, I think that was his name. Hang on. I have to drink a sip of my $299 bottle of bourbon.
I've switched a little Diet Pepsi just to, because I can't sip straight rum.
So what we've done here is we've separated this into a couple of, well, four different categories, basically.
Yeah.
The first category, Burke's going to hit you guys with, and I'm going to actually discuss. Yes, I will definitely chime in on this because I did some research as well. But we're going to discuss his early years. We're going to discuss his music. We're going to discuss songs that he wrote for other people. And then I have an entire segment on people Prince has dated.
That might almost be its own show there.
When I started doing the research of that, it scared me.
I mean, it puts David Spade to shame.
It scared me. All right. So on that note, I'm going to let Mr. Burke take off.
I'm going to do a little...
fly like an eagle.
Going to do a little just kind of like overview reading here. So Prince Rogers Nelson, born June 7th, 1958, passed away at a too young of an age on April 21st, 2016. Born and raised Minneapolis, Minnesota, as we all know. Prince signed a record deal with Warner Brothers Records at the age of 19. Let me say that one more time. 19. He released the albums For You in 1978. Prince in 1979 went on to achieve critical success with his innovative album Dirty Mind in 1980. Controversy in 1981. And then, of course, his album 1999, all the way back in 1982. That, which was kind of my... I can't say that. I remember... the first time I ever saw Prince was American Bandstand, actually. And it was, I Want to Be Your Lover. And I could not believe that this guy was getting away with these lyrics on American Bandstand. I was like, how in the hell did they let you do that? But anyway, his sixth album, of course, was his penultimate, Purple Rain, which was 1984. This was recorded with his backup band, The Revolution. It was the soundtrack to his film and acting debut of the same name. Purple Rain spent six consecutive months atop the Billboard 200. He won the Academy Award for Best Original Song Score. After he disbanded the Revolution, he went on to achieve continued critical success with Sign of the Times in 1987.
All right. Do you know why he split up from the Revolution?
I honestly don't know. And it's kind of weird because after doing this little kind of digging and everything, it's like every person like in the Revolution or that was in the movie or like they've all been tied together for years.
Yes.
Just years. But I'll let you get into that later.
I'm actually not going to get into that because I was actually asking the question because there's so many different, answers as to why he split from the Revolution that I was wondering if you had found stuff.
I hadn't come across it. I would almost garner a guess of he was trying to snub Warner Brothers in yet another way would be my guess.
And I do believe that all of it comes down to that lawsuit, which I'm sure that we're going to discuss at some point in time, because it was a sad.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we'll discuss that anyway.
Yeah.
Go on with your backlog of
within the midst of a contractual dispute with Warner Brothers. In 1993, he changed his stage name to the unpronounceable symbol that the fans refer to as the love symbol. And at that point, everyone referred to him either as the artist formerly known as Prince or simply the artist. So, and Prince's real name was Prince. His name was Prince Roger Nelson. He was named after his father's jazz combo. And both of his parents were musicians. They actually, his father and mother met when his father was doing the Prince jazz trio, I think it was.
His father was actually a jazz artist who played with several people, including Grover Washington, which I will say, happy birthday, Grover, today. The actual day today is Grover Washington the III's birthday.
Nice.
Happy birthday to you, Grover. I miss him so much. I miss partying with him. But yes, his father was a jazz musician, but also a composer.
Yes.
He just never made it as a composer. He wrote a lot. And
you gotta remember, he was a black man in Minnesota in the 50s and 60s. It was not a great time, you know, not a fruitful environment.
He was not a Viking.
He did not eat loose fisk.
He is not the Finnish. I only say that because something like 65% of the population in Minnesota or in Minneapolis is Finnish.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways,
so
you can move on with your,
he was actually, I found this kind of hilarious in a backwards way, despite his rather diminutive stature, because he was only measured at 5'2". He was an extremely talented basketball player. And he played on the Minneapolis Central High School junior varsity team and continued to play recreationally as an adult. It was actually
one of his aspirations in high school to be a professional basketball player.
Yeah.
At 5'1".
He was never a starter, and that always bugged him. His coach, I think, said, I knew he wanted to be starting and felt he should be starting. He was unhappy, expressed that many, many times, but it is what it is. Now, did you ever see the Dave Chappelle bit with Charlie Murphy?
No, I don't believe I have.
Dear God, we should pull that up and let you watch it. On the Dave Chappelle show.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy's brother, Charlie Murphy, was one of the comedian, the players on the Dave Chappelle show. And they did this whole bit about back in the day with Charlie Murphy, basically. But one of the times was when he was at Studio 54 and they met up with Prince. And Prince like invited all these guys back to his pad. And they wanted to play basketball and all the, you know, all these guys are laughing and everything. And all of a sudden Charlie Murphy was like, dude, that cat could ball. And of course, Chappelle is playing Prince in the background as a sketch. But it was like, I always thought it was just a made up bullshit thing. No, I'll bet Charlie Murphy got schooled on the basketball court by Prince and the Revolution. And it's just, and they didn't even bother to change their outfits. They were still in their frilly outfits and everything. And Charlie Murphy and all his crew were in, you know, sweats and everything. And they got schooled by the Revolution, which I find hilarious.
Let's see.
Let's see.
can recall another one, like, you know, I think it was in 85, like when all that androgynous was going on. And what was wild was that the guy who looked the most like a bitch was getting all the women. Even I had the Jerry curls coming outside and all that. If you wearing baggy now and you acting hard, if you from LA, you motherfuckers was wearing some things. We in the club, we getting our groove on, shaking it up. And Prince came in. That's when Purple Rain came out, and Prince was the shit, you know what I'm saying? Prince had on like a, it was like a Zorro type outfit. It had the ruffles coming down the front. He had the big perm. Mustache, everything, like he's drawing on his face. And it looked like something that a figure skater would wear, you know what I'm saying? And he was with his whole crew, and he had his other cat.
I think this is the skit, isn't it?
This is the one.
Okay.
Named Mickey Free. And Mickey Free was like the new cat in Shalimar. That when he joined the group, I heard mad cats like, yo, Shalimar got a new girl in there, man. That bitch fine like a motherfucker. They was talking about Mickey Free, man. Okay? Mickey Free is not a girl, all right? They came over where we was at. Prince started talking to my brother.
Hello, Eddie Murphy.
Prince, what's up?
I'm a big fan of your comedies.
Ooh, that's hot, Prince.
Would you like to come to my house and listen to some music?
Ooh, that's cool. Fruity, get the car.
Assemble your crew. I'll be outside.
We get there, put the tracks on, tracks of slamming. You know what I mean? We listening to the music and everything. We grooving at the crib. They had girls over there. Yeah, nice environment. It was tight.
This bores me. Is anyone up for a game of basketball? How about you and your friends versus me and the revolution?
So I was like, this nigga must be joking, man. I don't know where he's going with this. But he was dead serious. He had his helper or whatever go and get some like sneakers and gave them to us and laughed.
Oh, we might be having some technical difficulties here, folks. Are you back?
Well, I'm here with you. hang on. I'm sure that you can guess what just happened.
The electricity went out again.
I don't know how you would know that.
The diddle-loop, diddle-loop,
diddle-loop, diddle-loop. All of my three touch screens turning off.
Anyway.
So anyways, the skit we'll have a link on the
If Scott's power comes back, we will definitely go back to that sketch because it is a classic. So anyway, the cat is coming back up. Hi.
Kendrick.
Excuse me. All right, go sit over there. Chill out. I need my keyboard. There you go. A little more background. Prince has sold over 150 million records worldwide, ranking him among the best-selling musical artists of all times. He has released songs under multiple pseudonyms also during his life, as well as writing songs that were made by popular by other musicians. I'm going to let you go into that whole list right there. His awards include a Grammy President's Merit Award, the American Music Awards Achievement and of Merit, the Billboard Icon Award, an Academy Award, a Golden Globe Award, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2004, the UK Music Hall of Fame in 2006, the Rhythm and Blues Music Hall of Fame in 2016, and inducted into the Black Music and Entertainment Walk of Fame in 2022. And we were just talking about his dad, John Nelson, piano player in a jazz band by night, worker at Honeywell, the electronics company by day. Nelson is Black and Italian. His ex-wife says Prince of his mother is a mixture of a bunch of things. Okay. on stage, his father was called Prince Rogers, and that's what he named his son, Prince Roger Nelson. John moved out of the family home when Prince was 7, but he left behind his piano, and it became the first instrument that Prince had learned how to play. And he would listen to like TV and stuff, and he would play the songs that he heard, like Batman, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. He said his first drum set was a full box of newspapers. He said, explaining how he came to play a whole range of instruments. At 13, he went to live with his aunt. She didn't have room for a piano, but his dad bought him an electric guitar, and he learned how to play that. Auntie wasn't too keen on that noise, so she threw him out. It was then that Prince turned up at Andre's place. So, Andre Simone Anderson, later known as Andre Simone, is an American bassist, songwriter, and record producer. He was the bass guitar player for Prince's touring band pre-Revolution. Simone actually did a solo career in 1981. His song, The Dance Electric, which was written by Prince, reached number 10 on the R&B charts in 1985. Simone also co-wrote and produced hit songs for other acts, including Jody Watley's Looking for a New Love and Real Love. Simone was also born in Minneapolis. He's the son of Fred Anderson, a musician who was Prince's father's band. So these guys were actually related from dads. Prince's cousin Charles Smith started the band Grand Central and invited Simone to play in that. And that band also included Simone's sister Linda and Morris Day. So they have been connected from the beginning.
His dad was actually a bigwig in the funk industry. Worked with a lot of artists, including Lakeside, which
I've heard of them.
Is a band from Ohio, a funk band from Ohio. I've lit them like 50 times. I love that band. His dad was really kind of big in the industry,
never broke out.
Just was never a top artist.
Yeah,
and there were green bean. There was a
jelly bean.
That was it. They actually did an interview with him, and he said he drove by Prince's house one day and heard Prince playing the drums.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Hold on, that's my job."
when Prince like had some people over, and I may have this written down somewhere else, but he would go up like behind the bass player and like reach around him and go, all right, I need you to play, you know, this E sharp major, but you know, go backwards from the uprift or whatever. You know, he would go to the drummer and go, okay, do, you know, and kind of grab his arms, I need this kind of a beat here, and then he would go play guitar and everything. Like he was that good back in high school. And kind of a control freak back then too. He wanted it to sound perfect.
He was definitely a micromanager all the way through his career.
Oh yeah.
When he was with the Revolution, he used to be really rough on them. And I mean, he would walk over. He'd walk over to the drums and start playing. Now, this is how I need you to play it.
Yeah.
He'd walk over to the bass.
It was a little bit tough for the drummer too, because he was like they transitioned over from real drums to synth drums,
electric. Yeah,
and it was kind of tough on the dude, but he adapted. You know, improvise, adapt, and overcome. All right, bitey cat.
That's where Purple Rain really came into fruition, was when they were changing their sound to almost a full synth.
Yeah,
sound.
1999 was heavy synth.
Heavy synth. Yes. Yeah.
But anyway,
and
let me go back. We'll circle back on this eventually, I'm sure. So, he did a song called Better Way that was performed by James Ingram and featured on Beverly Hills Cop 2, released in 87. Jellybean Johnson,
the guy
you were just talking about, was in a rival band in Minnesota. He ended up being the drummer in The Time. But he said watching a 15, 16-year-old kid, he was referring to Prince, play Carlos Santana and play it note for note was phenomenal to me. He said, I knew that he was different than anybody else. And this was way back in the day. His classmates there in Central High knew that he was a talented musician. Halfway through the sophomore year, he had quit the basketball team and was dedicating all his free time to jamming in the music room. He had an aversion to joining the school band or taking formal lessons. It was a fact that was noted in his first piece of press ever, a 1976 article in the student newspaper, the Central High Pioneer. He likes Central a great deal because his music teachers let him work on his own. Prince preferred to get his music education from the stereo and spending hours with Andre and Anderson's basement listening to rock and folk art. He used to listen to stuff like Joni Mitchell and Carlos Santana on the FM radio station called KQRS. Big into the R&B and soul and funk via the Black community radio station KUXL and an AM channel that was only broadcast to a small section of North Minneapolis. So he had recorded a raw demo tape with a respected young Minneapolis producer named Chris Moon. And together they had been polishing a promising new song. I'm kind of jumping a little ahead here. This song was called Soft and Wet, and this was the song Prince was sure to make a strong impression. He was struggling to make the necessary connections that would land him with a meeting with a label in New York. And my stuff is a little messed up here. What's going on here? Chris Moon decided to take a copy of Soft and Wet demo to an advertising office in the Loring Park neighborhood of Minneapolis. It was run by a musician and concert promoter named Owen Husney. This guy was a veteran of the music industry, and he had been presented with many demo tapes over the years, but something about the song that Moon brought him that immediately grabbed him. He said the music was reminiscent of the funk greats like Sly Stone and Hendrix and Santana. The vocals were delivered in a powerful yet vulnerable falsetto that captured the imagination. He said he was immediately struck that something was really different. He turned to Chris and I said, so who's the band? And the guy said, well, Owen, it's not really a band. And I thought, oh shit, it's a bunch of studio musicians, because I don't really want to work with studio musicians. They can't tour. And he said, no, it's not a studio band. It's one kid. And he just turned 18 and he's singing everything and playing all the instruments. After some wheeling and dealing, Husney managed to set up a meeting in Los Angeles with Warner Brothers, A&M, and Columbia. So three different, major. Within a week, all three labels were offering to sign Prince. And within a month, he had negotiated a three-album deal with Warner Brothers. It was the largest record deal for an untested artist in modern rock history.
All right. Before you go any further, we have to explain that Chris Moon ran or started a studio in South Minneapolis. Their entire job was just to do jingles for television. And
was this Hot Pink Records, Inc.?
Well, he owns that.
Okay. Because supposedly there was an album called 94 East Minneapolis Genius, which supposedly is the very, very first recording on vinyl of Prince. And he was playing guitar for that album.
Yeah. Chris Moon was huge in the start of Prince, but as well, he worked with Stevie Wonder and several others. Chris Moon was the one that started the whole Warner Brothers project.
Oh, okay.
With the Soft and Wet Funk album. So yeah.
So all right. Now, much to Prince's relief, his new manager handled much of the glad handing and pitching and business deals while Prince could focus on writing more songs. When it came time for Prince to attend a lunch with the staff of Warner Brothers to celebrate the signing and whatever, Hughes started brainstorming creative ways that he and Prince might thank the label for their commitment. Cause I will give Warner Brothers credit for that. That was a big step, you know, signing some 18-year-old kid to a 3-record. I mean, that's big. That's huge. So Prince turned to the language that he spoke more fluently than most, music. He wrote and recorded a brand new song just for the occasion. And after the lunch, Prince brought the executives at Warner Brothers into an office, press play, and on the ominously titled track, "I Hope We Work It Out." but all the execs were kind of blown away with the fact that somebody who was 18 years old had just written a song specifically as a thank you for an entire record label. Well, that's the kind of guy Prince was.
Still amazes me that he played every instrument.
Oh, for the first like 3 albums?
Yes.
Yeah. So here we go. Yeah, January 26th, 1980 is when Prince performed "I Want to Be Your Lover" on the Dick Clark Saturday Afternoon American Bandstand.
Did you happen to see that clip from it?
The
interview with...
Oh, I missed the interview part.
Okay, the interview with Dick Clark afterwards is, by all, something to watch. Because Dick Clark was expecting somebody who was going to be really energetic and all that stuff. And Prince is scared all the way through the freaking interview. It was like one word answers. And I was like,
I mean, this poor kid had been an introvert his whole life, unless he was on stage as, in quotation marks, Prince. There was Prince Nelson, and then there was Prince. It was almost like Bowie. I mean, Bowie was kind of an introverted dude unless he was on. And that's why Bowie had so many personas on stage, because he could put on a mask and he didn't have to worry about being Bowie. He could be that other person. So, yeah, kind of a, yeah. So, at the time of American Bandstand, it was in its first 2 weeks at number 11 on the Billboard's Top 100. Which would be the peak position that it got to. It did spend 16 weeks on the top 100. And on November 25th, it reached number 1 for 2 weeks on Billboard's Hot R&B Singles Charts. 78 to 06, he had 40. So between 1978 and 2006, he had 47 records on the top 100 chart.
Ooh.
47. That's when I read that little tidbit, I was like, oh crap, I've bitten off way more than I can chew. 20 of those made top 10, with 5 of them reaching number 1. Of his 47 charted records, one was a duet, "You Got the Look" with Sheena Easton. It peaked at number 2. So yeah, I was like, oh crap, we're in trouble here. So it looks like I go off on a little tangent about some people that he...
Hold on. You said "You Got the Look" topped out at what?
It apparently peaked out at number 2 for 1 week in 1987.
Okay. I have the UK list.
Okay.
So my numbers are going to be slightly different, but I couldn't find a good copy of the U.S. list. So, I guess I should let you carry on with your dissertation.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little into some of the people in the revolution here.
Actually, hey.
Yeah.
Ah, there we go.
Little technical difficulties with Scott power outages there. Sorry about that.
Yeah, this is beyond technical difficulties. I'm literally doing a show by candlelight right now.
This is the first.
According to that, I have 1 hour and 53 minutes left.
There you go.
Until
don't you have like little LED lamps that you can just turn? I got this little like cool LED lamp I can just turn on and shit.
Yeah.
Battery powered ones.
I could run around for another 10 minutes to find my battery pack and run my lights. Mm. But I would rather you get started.
Let's roll.
Roll with it, buddy.
Okay, so The Revolution, the band. When Prince formed his backing band after the release of his first album, he wanted a multiracial, multigendered musical ensemble. The original band was Prince on lead vocals, guitar, and piano, Des Dickerson on guitar, vocals, and background vocals, Andre Simone, who we've talked about, on bass, Bobby Z on drums and percussion, Gail Chapman on keyboards, and Matt Fink on keyboards. A little background, a couple of these guys. Des Dickerson, born in 55 in Minneapolis. He answered a call for Prince as a touring musician in the Twin Cities Reader, a local entertainment paper in 79. After a 50-minute audition at the back of Dell's Tire Mart, Dickerson was picked as guitarist. In 1980, went off on the road for a Christmas break. He had this profound conversion experience and became a born-again Christian. This led to some, he didn't like the stuff the band was singing, and that was kind of why he was only in just a couple albums, and then he decided to leave. This was following the 1999 tour that he left to pursue other options. Then he was replaced by Wendy Melvoin, who we will talk about in a little bit. Andre, we talked about. Andre Simone Anderson.
I love Wendy.
Born June 27, 1958. Born in Minneapolis, Minnesota, to the son of Fred Anderson and Bernadette, who was a social worker. He was the youngest of six children. Anderson soon had become an additional member of Young Prince, who had left his home due to his conflicts with his father. We talked about that. They were in Grand Central together, and he invited his sister Linda and Morris Day, blah, 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 blah. Whom else do we have?
Ooh.
Bobby Z, born Robert B. Rivkin. I guess he got his name from his oh, hey, you got light. I can see you. That's awesome.
He got
the stage name Bobby Z. It was derived from his grandmother used to call him Butzy. So that's where he got Bobby Z from. Prince was pretty adamant about having a white drummer in an effort to have a racially diverse band. So Hughesney implored Prince to audition this guy, Rivkin. Rivkin had replaced Dale Alexander during the 94 East Band sessions that we talked about earlier.
Yes.
Dale later became the drummer for Prince's protege group Madhouse in 1987. By the time the 1999 album was released, he was relying more and more on electronic drums, and Rivkin had to adapt his style to operate on these in concert as well as in the studio. Starting with Controversy. He contributed to Purple Rain, Around the World in a Day, Parade, Sign of the Times. And in 1986, when Lisa and Wendy left, the group disbanded after the Parade tour ended. So Prince also took the opportunity to replace Rivkin with Sheila E., daughter of veteran Bay Area drummer and percussionist Pete Escovedo.
Who was awesome. I loved him on the timbales.
Dr. Fink, born Matt Fink in 1958, keyboardist and producer, and he's actually done some producing for and songwriting for artists like The Time, Lips Incorporated, Vanity Six, David Z, Bobby Z, P. Diddy, The Rembrandts, just to name a few. So he's kept up. Sorry, that's shiny things there. What were you lighting?
It's a plasma lighter.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Here, watch.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Little arc welding there.
Damn, I love that.
Fink has won 3 Grammy Awards, 3 American Music Awards, and numerous IRAA Gold and Platinum Awards for his work with Prince of the Revolution. He actually has co-writing credits on the song Dirty Mind, Computer Blue, 17 Days, America, It's Gonna Be a Beautiful Night, and session credits on the album Dirty Mind, Controversy, 1999, Purple Rain, Around the World in a Day, Parade, Side of the Times, Love Sexy, The Black Album, and Graffiti Bridge. So he actually was with Prince quite a while.
Wow.
Wendy Melvoin. I got rid of my Prince thing. Oh God, I got to pull it up. Where is it? Where are you? Prince.
Your microphone just did the funniest thing I think I've ever heard.
What?
You apparently got really loud because it shut everything down and it was it was like a boing.
Awesome. I'll pull it away a little bit more. Sorry about that.
No, don't worry. I mean, it was I just find it funny.
I have something else in here about, here we go. So we'll talk about Lisa Coleman real quick. At age 12, Lisa Coleman got her professional start as a keyboardist in the bubblegum band Waldorf Salad. That band also featured her siblings, Jonathan Melvoin. It was actually signed to A&M Records in 73. Coleman had played a small role as a high school pianist in the Linda Blair made-for-TV film Sarah T, Portrait of a Teenage Alcoholic, which I'm not entirely sure, but I think I may have seen at some point. Coleman was 18 to 19 years of age right out of high school when one of her good friends, Nikki Yogler, who was working as a secretary for Prince's personal manager, brought her to the attention of Prince. After some convincing on both ends, Yogler got Coleman an audition, and she was hired as part of Prince's backing group in 1980 for the Dirty Mind album. Before being so recruited, she had been working as a shipping clerk and teaching piano. She replaced the keyboardist Gail Chapman, which, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Gail Chapman the blonde girl that was in Purple Rain, who was the waitress?
I do believe so.
Because they used everybody in that film. I mean, Dez came back for that. I mean, they used everybody in that film.
All right. Hang on. What was the name?
Gail Chapman. And excuse me, I'm going to drink and it's going to be loud. Oh my God, is that good? Holy cow. Bah, 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 bah. Coleman played keyboards for Prince on Controversy in 1999 albums.
Gail Chapman played Bobby Z on drums and percussion, Gail Chapman on keyboards. So there you go. I don't
look up IMDb and see who the waitress was, because the waitress in Purple Rain was in the Little Red Corvette videos, kind of like hugging against Lisa when Lisa was playing keyboards in that video, if I'm not mistaken. So she's been with Prince before. Anyway, Purple Rain, blah, 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 blah. So Coleman was in a long-term relationship with her musician friend, Wendy Melvoin, with whom she collaborated frequently. One night when guitarist Des Dickerson did not show up for sound check, Prince asked Melvoin to play guitar. That same night, Prince invited Melvoin to join the band. And Prince was walking by Lisa's basically, dressing room and heard somebody playing guitar. And he's like, wait, who's playing guitar? It's just like, it's It's Wendy. He's like, let me hear some more of that. And heard some more of that. I was like, all right, we're doing this. And that's kind of, you know, if you were talented, you were ancillary people around Prince were highly talented and sometimes got a great break. And Wendy's definitely, you know, a part of that thing.
Right. So,
let's see. La, 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 la. So hold on. The concert was recorded. And Wendy helped contribute to projects like the Apollonia 6 album, 1985's The Family, Prince of the Revolution album Around the World in a Day. Melvoin performed with Prince at the Bangles show in 1986, appears on Prince's 1987 album Sign of the Times, Slow Love, Strange Relationships, Gonna Be a Beautiful Night. This one I didn't know. Melvoin, Wendy and Lisa composed music for the first season of the TV series Heroes. Didn't know that. So anyway, everybody's connected. It's scary. La 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 la.
Yeah.
Wendy and Lisa. Blah 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 blah. Can anybody get any confused? Yeah. Crossing Jordan. They did songs for Crossing Jordan, Heroes. Nurse Jackie won an Emmy for Outstanding Main Title Theme, Prime Suspect, No Tomorrow, Witches of East End, and Touch. They also got Emmy nominations for that. They currently compose music for NBC's Shades of Blue. Coleman played vibraphone on Alice in Chains' song Black Gives Way to Blue. Okay. So that is kind of all the background stuff that I have. Everything else I have is kind of after Purple Rain, which means it's time for you to get your groove on.
Well, actually, it means that it's a little bit of a break time.
I talk that long?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. We're taking a break.
How about that?
And what kick-ass and righteous music do you have to play us out of this one?
Hang on here, because I'm going to have to
You're going to do this manually?
Yeah, are you ready? Here, wait. Here we go. So here is our break music. Folks, we'll be right back.
Talk to you soon.
Hey, make sure that you check back soon for part two of this podcast.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.